And good Saturday morning, and welcome into the talk radio show that for the last 35 years has provided its listeners who suffer from nature deficit disorder, NDD, a cure. And, you know, today I understand a lot of you are going to be giving up your fishing trips and hunting trips, even though it's a beautiful weather day. Taylor Swift, you know, you just got to go there, and I'm sure there's tailgating for Taylor Swift that starts early. But if you are not one of the many that's into that, we've got an alternative for you. We're going to be talking with Gene Hebert and Emile Broussard. They are with the Louisiana Wildfowl Carvers and Collectors Guild, who produces the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival. And this will be the 45th annual today and tomorrow. If you don't want to fight the crowds in New Orleans, head to Mandeville. What a wonderful show it is. Well, they'll tell you all about it. It's open to the public. It combines waterfowl and art with some special new little twists and events at this year's show. We'll talk to them all about it. You're also going to hear from a very special guest, a young man named Justin Logar. He's going to be joining us from his home state of New Jersey to talk about his appearance in this week's Bayou Wild TV episode. Now, Justin came dangerously close to losing his life, the result of a deadly form of cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma, but fortunately is now in remission. We met up with Justin and his dad, John, through Hunt of a Lifetime, because Justin's trip of a lifetime was to catch a tarpon. We teamed up with one of the best, maybe the best, Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters out of Gulfport, and Justin will be here to tell you his tarpon tale that you can watch this week on Bayou Wild TV on a station near you or on YouTube worldwide. Also, we got a bad boy story. This one is another young man. This one could not avoid the temptation that many of you might have experienced. I don't think this was a calculated plot to break the law. It was a move of opportunity, but I'll tell you what, it didn't end up well for our bad boy of the outdoors. His story's up. Also, if you've had a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, we'd like to include it along with your outdoor-related comments, your questions, and we'll add it to the reports of our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real-time into the studio here, 504-260-187. If you are headed out, boy, what a beautiful October day. Northeast winds light about 5 to 10 offshore, 2-foot seas on the interior lakes and bays. It'll swap around from north to southeast. Very light, only 5 knots, some smooth conditions, not quite a foot of tide range, but 0.8, not bad. Mississippi River sitting pretty low, 2.7, and holding steady. So the stage is set. We'll talk to some of our field reporters, particularly focusing on Lake Pontchartrain and those World Series trout. The World Series is underway, and traditionally some big speckled trout move into Lake Pontchartrain. Are they there? Well, we'll find out. I've gotten lots of good fishing reports. To say that saltwater fishing interior for speckled trout, red, sheephead, and drum, it is on fire right now. And also, I'm going to remind you, we're still under in Louisiana a flounder closure. It's seasonal. It'll be closed now through November 30th. We've also got to update the Alabama season for flounder. It will be closing shortly. We'll give you the details on that and also some other information you need to know, particularly if you're looking for a spot to go out and catch you some catfish. We got it for you. It's all right here. Coming up next, we'll talk to Robbie Campo. We're headed down to Shell Beach on a beautiful Gulf Coast Saturday morning where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque. Radio Network. Yes, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Weather-wise, it's beautiful. The conditions are great to get out and do some fishing, maybe a little bit of bow hunting. We got the major seasons. Duck and deer are going to be opening up. Some deer seasons are already underway for the archery hunters and the primitive weapons. It depends. You got to check your regulations for the area that you hunt in. Let's start off down in Campo's Marina down in Shell Beach. Robbie Campo joins us. Hey, Robbie, how you doing this morning?
Don, if I was any better, I'd have to have a permit, man. I'm telling you, it's been I've been doing great. You know, everybody's good. Plenty of fish being caught this week. I tell you, man, it's just been one of these weeks that you know you wait for fall to get here, and it's just been on, man. It's been an epic week of fishing. I got to go fishing Tuesday when I got back from Kentucky. I got my next first day at work. I got in a boat. And went did some fishing with Captain Giacomo. We put 45 in the boat for 9:30 in the morning, 2 minutes from Campo's Marina, right down the ship channel here, crossing Duluth Canal on the south side channel on Mystico. This has been, Don, if you can't catch fish, I said this week before last, I'm going to say it again. If you can't catch fish now, you got to go do something different. You got to go take up golfing. You got to go do some, you know, arts and crafts or some kind of other other activities, because now it is on. This is what we wait for every year. This is what the season is all about, and it, right now is it, man. I'm telling you, it's been, you know, if you want to fish Chalmette, fish Chalmette. If you want to go to Hopedale, go to Hopedale. If you got spots there, you want to go. You go to Delacro, anywhere in St. Bernard Parish right now. Come Shell Beach. It's been, you know, top of the Bluxy Marsh, you know, to Chalmette, the Regulies, Lake Bourne. It's anywhere south of this Mystico, you know, from Coquille, Lake Robin. Anywhere you pick, you could just about flip a coin and go there and catch fish right now. So this is what we wait for, Don. This is the epic time of fishing. You know, when fall gets here, we all wait for it, and it's here. Take advantage of it. Now, you do have a little bit less current today than you had, tide range than you had earlier in the week, but you still got enough that you're going to be, you know, to make it happen. So get out here, get you some live bait. One of the things I witnessed this the other day, and one of the guys is throwing a Marker 54 shrimp, okay?
Right.
Could not catch a fish on a plastic. We were wearing them out on live bait. I said, you better switch over to live bait because you're going to get left back. So we put – and he did. He got his 15 with the live bait. But I tell you, Don, it's been – take them for insurance. If you don't want to buy many, I know. And look, later on during the week, it was great with live bait. Earlier in the week, it wasn't so, you know, with plastics. Earlier in the week, all live bait, you know, so things do change, but take some for insurance. Make sure you got some. We put some puppy drums in the boat, 18-inch puppy drums in the boat. So it's been fishing. I don't care what you want to catch right now. You can catch it. So come on down, hook the left at the bridge, and come and see us. We got plenty of live shrimp. So boxes are stacked up with them. The tanks are stacked up, and there ain't no reason that you shouldn't be able to stack your box with fish today too. So come on down and see us.
And if you don't use them all, you can bring them home and fry them up. They're great, nice, fresh shrimp. Nothing fresher than a live shrimp. Robbie, that was one common denominator. Everybody I talked to this week said that they wanted the live bait so much more than the plastic bait. I don't know what that's all about, but how did you guys fish it to do so well? Did you tight line it up on those rocks? Did you put it underneath the cork? And if you did, how deep was it?
We were fishing about 50 yards from the bank. And on a flat about 4 feet of water, and we were fishing 3 feet under a cork, a popping cork and a rattle cork, and it made all the difference in the world. And we wound up, man, we were just, man, I tell you, Don, I haven't seen a bite like that in a long. We had eight throwbacks. We had eight throwbacks that whole morning. So the fish are crossing that 13-inch threshold. I did hear reports this week, later on the week when the tide kind of started to slack up a little bit, that they did have, you know, a lot of throwbacks with them. But, you know, like 12 and a half and, you know, the ones that's right close to 13. But nevertheless, the fish are eating up. This now is the time. It just really is. Now is the time.
Robbie, one more thing before you go. You can confirm this if it's true. I got a report that down there at Campos Marina, with every launch, you're given a free Taylor Swift bracelet with the launch today. Is that true?
Let me tell you what. Now, look, I know there's a lot of Swifties out there, and I'll probably catch a little heat for this, okay? But I'm going to tell you, Don, if that little skinny thing was singing on a Wycliffe bridge and it was free, I wouldn't go watch her at the Wycliffe bridge. That's just me. That's me now, okay?
Right.
So, that's just me. But, you know.
Well, there's people paying thousands of dollars to go sit there and,
But it would. But I'm not one of those guys.
No, me either.
And I don't have Taylor Swift bracelets. I'm sick of hearing about it, to tell you the truth. That's all the news talked about. And so, now, look, did she bring a lot of money into our city? I'm sure she did. But, it didn't help me out there.
Well, some of those Swifties might even find their way down there and fish out of the marina. You know,
I need people to come fishing. So, well, I need people to come fishing. So that's, but yeah.
You had a whole hamper full of bracelets, Taylor Swift bracelets
to give away
with the launch. So if anybody comes down and asks, you just tell them.
True.
Just tell him he got a hold of some fake news and there's nothing to it. So
definitely the fake news. So.
All right, let's enjoy this while we got it, Robbie. We'll talk next week.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye bye.
Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. Scene, but you're not going to get a free Taylor Swift bracelet if you launch there. All right, coming back after this, going to get to some of your text messages. Shoot me one. What you got going on? Who are you? Where are you? What you doing on a beautiful Saturday morning on the Gulf Coast? That number is 504-260-1870. You should have it in your contacts. We'll be back to go over some of those and also run down some calendar items up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, if you're headed out to go fishing, we got more reports coming up for you. But if you're going to the Taylor Swift concert, okay, I understand. You know, it's just some people staying and they got to go. I personally just don't get it. But I tell you what, if you want an alternative, the Louisiana Wildfowl Fest is going on today and tomorrow at the Castine Center, free parking in Mandeville right next to Pelican Park. 45th annual, it's a great event. I've been there many times. In fact, I'm going to make it on my list of stops for this weekend. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to Emil Broussard and Gene Hebert. They are some of the organizers with the Louisiana Wildfowl Fest and giving you complete rundown on what's going to be going up. All right. Also, if you are interested in getting out and fishing, and in fact attending a Get Out and Fish event, which is a community fishing program sponsored by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery. They got a great day coming up next weekend. It'll be now Sunday, and I'm glad to see they're holding us on a Sunday because a lot of us have to work on Saturdays. But this gives people an opportunity to go up to Bogachitta State Park. This is just south of Franklinton, Louisiana, from 8 in the morning till 12 noon. They've got a pond that is stocked with 800 pounds of catfish, those beautiful, delicious channel cats. And you fish from the bank. They're going to have rods and reels available. I think they're even going to have some bait and tackle there, too. And if you want to go there, there's going to be some instruction on how to fish. This is great for first-timers. You know, I get a lot of single moms sometimes will say, you know, I've got a son or daughter, and they want to go fishing, but I have no idea how to start, how to do it. This is where you start. And believe me, this can lead to a lifetime addiction with the sport of fishing. But this is going to be at Bogachitta State Park in Franklinton, 8 to noon next Sunday. To learn how to fish, you keep what you catch. And if 18 years and older now, you need a fishing license. But if you're under 18, you fish for free. And it's a great little event. If you want more information, you can contact Danica Williams. I've got a phone number for her. If you need it, just shoot me a text and I'll pass it along to you. Speaking of text, let's see what we got coming in this morning. We got the Lafayette Yacker. He says, good luck to the Frog Lawyer, one of our regular listeners, and all the others who are fishing in the Lafayette Club at Sipramore Point. I heard they got a Lafayette kayak tournament going on at Sipramore Point. Good luck to them. Y'all got a beautiful day to do it. And here's a good morning from an Ohio listener. It's still dark there. How about them little black bears? I caught word there's permits open for them, but maybe not in Louisiana. Yes, we do have a black bear season that will be taking place in December. There were a total of 10 permits issued. I think there were 973 people applied for them. So we'll report on it and find out how the first black bear season in many, many years goes. All right, here's some really good news. I love to hear this. Backstrap Stacker checking in from Alabama. He had a young man, got his first buck with a bow yesterday afternoon, a nice 8-pointer. Congratulations to Buddy Fleming for getting on the board early this season, and may the good Lord please bless us with some rain very soon. My fields and my truck need it desperately. Boy, that's really nice, especially for a young guy like that to get the pressure off. You do it really early with an 8-pointer, and the rest of the season is all downhill. Congratulations, buddy, on that nice 8-pointer with the bow. And we have Chip Clement checking in. He wants me to mention that he has a raffle going for 2 guided fishing trips on the Wrigley's fishing group page. All the proceeds go for the toy drive by Children's Hospital. I've got a phone number here if you want to contact him about getting tickets. Chip, if you need to send me some more details on it, who the trip's with and what the cost of the tickets are, and, you know, I guess they can get them on your Facebook page. That's the Wrigley's, Wrigolets, fishing group, and I'm sure you can find more information there. All right, we have the honorably discharged veterans taking advantage of special either sex day. Wish me luck. Yeah, I was hoping I could get in on that. It's going to be going on, I think, for the whole week, and I'm going to check more into that. You know, we got these special seasons for youth and honorably discharged veterans for both deer and waterfowl hunting. All right, here's one says, good morning, Don. What a beautiful morning in South Louisiana. Sitting back drinking coffee and listening to my favorite outdoors radio show. Well, thank you very much for that. Going to drown some live shrimp in Yellow Cotton Bay in a bit. I wish everyone a great day on the water. That's from Jeff Meir. Jeff, thanks for the compliment, and good luck to you. I'm sure you're going to do well. Boy, I got some excellent reports this week down in that Venice area. All right, we got Carl checking in. He's staying at the Hunter's Bend Campground in the Tensaw Wildlife Refuge. It's opening youth weekend, first deer hunt of the year in the refuge. Boy, you got a great day for it. Good luck to all the youths that will be hunting out there. That's at the Hunter's Bend Campground. I got to check that out. That's from Carl Sternberger. All right, if you got a text message for us, you got a fishing report, a hunting report, love to hear from you. Comments, questions, 504-260-1870. We come back after this. I'm going to tell you, those of you listening to us in Alabama, about some closures for the fishing you need to be aware of. Also, it's coming up, the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator Giveaway to support 4-H and FFA. It's coming up soon. I'll tell you how to get some info on it. We're back to do that right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, welcome back in. We are getting some text messages in. We got one from Lafitte LT. Says, got so sick of people worshiping someone so ungodly, we left the state of Louisiana and came to visit nephew by Lake Okeechobee. Great decision. Yeah, not everybody is what you call a Swifty. And here's a question from the Colonel in Hammond. The Colonel says, hey, Big Don, will those Taylor Swift bracelets match a hunter's orange vest? Good luck to the veterans and youths on deer this morning. You know, I guess they could make one of those things to match anything. They got one that is laced around the railing at the Superdome now. The bracelet thing, I never heard about it until I saw that. But by the way, if you're going down to Campos Marina, Robbie does not have a hamper full of Taylor Swift bracelets to give away for people who launched there this morning. That was some fake news we got a hold of. All right, we got this one. Did you know today is National Day of the Deployed? I'm glad you reminded me about that because I had forgot about it, and I'm kind of wondering if, in fact, the timing of the veterans' hunt, you know, to give the veterans and the youth a jump on the deer season before everybody else gets in the woods and gives them a little better opportunity, is scheduled actually today on the National Day of the Deployed. We'll talk more about what that day is when we come back, but first we need to pause 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, and the National Day of the Deployed. I was deployed many, many years ago when I was in the service, and every year the National Day of the Deployed is today, October 26th, and it allows us to honor service members who are currently deployed abroad and acknowledges the sacrifices of military families during the deployment. We often don't give the families of those who are missing their loved ones and concerned about them enough credit. Currently, there are numerous military and civilians deployed worldwide. So I want to thank the texter who sent that in. All right, let's see. I got some more texts coming in here. Launched the boat in Delacro, ready to catch the big ones. Hook set. Okay, that must be the name. I have to add that to our list of handles for some of our listeners. All right, 504-260-1870 is our text line. Let's see. We got this one said, I've moved out of the NOLA area, but listened to you while visiting Lafayette. Man, I miss your show. Frank Davis was a great friend back in the 70s. Somehow you reminded me of a record fishing trip we made off Irish Bayou in about 1968. Give a call someday and I'll relay it. Keep up the great show. Blessings. That's from John Johansson. Well, John, you know you can listen to us on the live stream. If you go to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and just find there the radio information, and there's a link there where you can pick up the show. You can listen to the replays if you don't get up early, or you can listen to it live. So glad to have you listening. And, yeah, you know, I think about Frank Davis often. Frank was a friend of mine. He was a cohort in covering outdoors, did his fish and game reports. He was an accomplished cooker. And a lot of people didn't realize that Frank was an accomplished musician. He was pretty good at that, although he really didn't get out and expose that. All right, here's the information from Chip on that fishing trip. He said the tickets are only $25 each. You get five for $100. The guides are Captain Danny Hunter, Captain Brad DeFonso, and let's see, C.T. Williams is also offering the winner to choose between the two guides, and they'll do a big fish TV show. Shoot for the winners and one guess. If you need any kind of fishing weights, let me know, and he'll make it happen. All right, so there you go. Go to the Wrigley's Fishing Group. There's more details on it, but that's a pretty good price, $25 for a shot to fish with Captain Danny Hunter or Captain Brad DeFonso. They fish over in that Wrigley's area. All right, 504-260-1870. You want to get a text in? We do announcements like that, but, boy, I wish you would send it to me in advance. And you can do that if you go to my website, again, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and you'll find a contact Don. It's an email there, and you can email me during the week. Because a text message only is good during the 2 hours that I'm on, from 5 to 7 on Saturday mornings. Other than that, it's not being monitored, at least not by me. All right, we're going to remind everyone, flounder season is closed in Louisiana. It shut down last week on October 15th. It will remain closed until November 30th. That's both commercial and recreational sectors. Possession of flounder is illegal, and the reason for this, it allows more of the mature female flounder to leave. Flounders leave inshore waters, and they go offshore to spawn. If they don't make it out there, we don't have any more little flounders to grow into big flounders. So the closed season is projected to cause a 50% reduction in the mature female flounder harvest. And hopefully this will restore flounder back to a healthy population and won't have to have closures, although it may be with us for a while. Speaking of those closures, those of you who fish over in Alabama, your closure for flounder doesn't start until November the 1st, which will be next Friday. And it'll continue through the whole month of November. Same thing to protect the spawning aggregation of flounder. And also in conjunction with that, the Marine Resources Division wanted me to remind everyone that the harvest of greater amberjack in federal and Alabama state waters will close also. That will close on November the 1st. All right, and when we come back after this, I'm going to tell you about the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator giveaway. This is to support two really good organizations, 4-H and FFA, which happens to be the Future Farmers of America. And boy, do we need those guys and girls. Back to tell you about that. We'll also get to some more of your text messages. You care to send us one. Who you are, where you are, what you got going on, 504-260-1870. We're back right after this three-minute pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, on this beautiful October Saturday morning, we got some memories of Frank Davis, a friend of mine, outdoor writer, broadcaster, TV host, and a lot of people that I mentioned didn't realize he was very talented. Not only was he an excellent chef and cook, but he was also a musician. And here's a text said, he played piano, clarinet, and trumpet like a champ. Mary Claire was his soulmate. And Mary Claire's Frank's wife, and still kind of stay in touch with her. Thinking about Frank Davis on a Saturday morning. Here's one from my buddy The Weave. He says he fished with Calm Water Charters about a month ago. He is the best. Saw thousands of tarpon. Hook two, hard to get them to bite. Had a great time. That tarpon fishing is exciting. And as I mentioned in the Bayou Wild episode that's running this week with Justin Loger, who you're going to hear from very shortly, it goes from moments of boredom to total chaos when one strikes and starts jumping. What a great fish. I think when God made a tarpon, it wasn't for us to eat. Certainly it was for sport. All right, here's another one about Frank Davis. He was also an expert writer and a photographer for the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery magazine. Yeah, well, he was the editor for a while of the magazine that is now digital. It used to be a color magazine that came out bi-monthly and then monthly called Louisiana Conservationist. And I have written many stories that appeared in that magazine. And Frank was the editor for a while. He was also the information and education director for the department. All right, here's one from Mike at Scales and Tails Campground. Glad to hear this. He said the specks are biting and point of shin. Pretty good. Have been catching them on some plastics. All right, thanks for that report, Mike. We appreciate it. Here's another Mike. This is Big Mike Pichon down on Bayou Liberty. They're having a safety meeting on this crispy morning on beautiful, historic Bayou Liberty. Yeah, one of my favorite places. Here's a text has made a trip to Lake Long and Lake Fields last Monday. Didn't catch much, but the water was beautiful. Noticed the barometric pressure was a little higher than 29. Do you think that might be the problem? Big E from Thibodeau. That is not high enough to shut the fish down. When it gets, if you got a 30.30 or higher, you're in trouble. you may as well not even go do something else. But 29 is getting up there, and yeah, high pressure fish bite definitely better on low pressure, especially when it's actually changing or falling. All right, did want to remind you about the Sunshine John Deere LSU Gator giveaway. It's just to support 4-H and FFA. This is a beautiful gator by John Deere. And it's purple and gold. If you want to see a picture of it, myself and the tight end for LSU Tigers, Mason Taylor, are sitting in it. And if you go on my Facebook page or the Bayou Wild page, that feature will be airing. We went fishing with Mason Taylor, and we sat in it, took some pictures of it. The giveaway, the drawing is going to be Sunday, November the 17th. And the tickets are only $20 to win it if you're interested in it and also helping 4-H and FFA. Go to Sunshine Equipment. Go to their Facebook page or their website and look for the 2024 LSU Gator Giveaway. I think it's going to be on display, if it hasn't already, at some of the games at Tiger Stadium. All right, we got some more text messages coming in. Let's see. We got someone is cooking redfish coubillon for a Swifties crew tonight, a little La Flavor. You think those Swifties can handle some redfish coubillon? I bet they can. All right, the Mad Trucker. I hadn't heard from him in a while. He's checking in. And let's see, we got another text that I think is missing something here. It's Bayou Caddy to Isle of Pete, but there's nothing else came through. You might want to retext that to me. That was from one of our Mississippi listeners. All right, you know, we had a discussion going on about the black bear. And if you haven't heard, there was a lot of interest in it. 973 people applied, and they all had to buy licenses before their application was accepted. And only 10 were chosen, and those 10 will be taking place in a hunt between December 7th and the 22nd. It's only going to be in a very restricted area, Management Area 4. That would be Tensaw, Madison, East Carroll, and West Carroll parishes, and some portions of Richland, Franklin, and Catahoula. This will be the first bear hunt in a long, long time. And if you don't remember, the black bear was listed, and this was the Louisiana black bear. It was determined that there's actually a subspecies of black bear, which is indigenous to Louisiana, and it was listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act back in 1992. Then they started a program to restore the black bear management program. Got to give Maria Davidson a lot of credit. She worked very hard in tracking and capturing and tagging and monitoring. And it's gotten to the point now where a lot of people are actually complaining about too many black bears. So that's the purpose, to take and reduce the population and the money that's raised. And I got to think that's a lot of money. 973 licenses were sold. that money will go back into the program to manage and preserve the existence of the Louisiana black bear in our state. All right, we come back after this. Got some more text messages to tell you about. Plus, we're going to talk with one of our field reporters, Darrell Carpenter, down in Grand Isle. When the winds were down, I heard the fish were on. Should be a beautiful day to get out down there. We'll find out what's going on in Grand Isle and surrounding areas from Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. He's next for your listening enjoyment right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, it's October. A lot of the speckled trout have made the transition from the offshore to the inshore waters up into the interior marshes. We got beautiful weather, moderate temperatures, lots of sunshine and blue skies, very little wind, and some decent tide range. What you going to do in Grand Isle? Well, let's talk to Darrell Carpenter and find out. Darrell, how's it looking? And did you guys catch a lot of fish this week like most folks did along the coast?
Don, it was all the reports are amazing. I mean, it took, once that wind quit blowing, it took maybe 2 days for the water to clean up. That's the benefit, I guess, of having a low river. But it took about 2 days for the water to clear up and the fish bounced right back. Was a little bit concerned that maybe that front got cool enough that it pushed some of those fish from the lower bays, you know, up into the marsh. But that doesn't seem to be the ticket. They haven't moved yet. We generally get until around Thanksgiving before that really happens. But, yeah, there's still fish scattered everywhere. You've got a lot of larger fish that are still down on the lower coast, on the open water oyster reefs and stuff. And, you know, those are much larger fish. You're not gonna have to fool with very many throwbacks and that type of thing. The bite might be a little bit slower, but you're not going to fool with the throwbacks. You get up into the marsh, and there again, there's fish everywhere. It's just there. You're going to start fooling with the throwbacks. Most of our stuff has all been done on plastic lately. It's a good time of the year to make sure that you have that live bait with you as a backup plan. If not, you could, I mean, they're running big enough. You can always take them home and use them as a topping for your fried fillets. But especially you get up in that marsh where you got all those knotheads still running around, you certainly don't want to be using strictly live bait there, because you'll spend more time baiting the hook than you will actually fishing.
Yep. How's the white trout run going?
Oh, they're doing well, Don. Got some larger ones that are, you know, they're scattered, if you would, on those reefs and stuff. Every now and then you'll catch a white trout with them. Your deeper holes, you know, up and down that east-west Louisiana Canal, whatever name you want to call it, you get those deeper holes, you can sit there with some dead shrimp and just wear them out.
You know, what would you say is your release size for white trout? What do you know, there's no size limit, there's no bag limits, and it's a great fish to include in a fish fry, and you've got that great tip to where you freeze them with the batter on them, and they stay really nice for quite a while, and you know, they don't get mushy. But what is the cutoff? What would you say would you keep? What's the smallest white trout? Same as a speck, 12, 13 inches or smaller?
Well, Don, it all depends on what's going on. If I got a box full of specks, it's very rare a white trout's going to hit it. If it's one of those days we're struggling, yeah. But it depends on the customer. If they're willing to eat them whole instead of filleting them, we'll just scale them and, you know, let them fry them whole like a brim or a sacalay. If the freezer's empty and I'm not well stocked on crab trap bait, then you know what? If he's 6 inches long, he's going in the freezer. So it's a little bit, you know, I guess it depends on the circumstance, but you're not going to get a decent fillet off of one that's not at least 12 to 13 inches long. You can scale them, and that's another way to keep the meat from falling apart is you scale them, dehead them, just like you were doing a perch or something like that, and you can fry them that way. And, you know, that's there. You know, if you got to keep that 10, 11-inch fish, then that's perfectly fine there because you just peel it off the bone.
Do you find that the white trout mix in schools with the specks, or is it pretty much segregation, that you only catch specks in one school and only catch white trout in another? I've had it both ways.
Well, this time of the year, they're probably going to be – it depends. I mean, like if you're on that oyster reef, they're going to be mixed. And you can generally tell when it's a white trout that hits it. Because I don't care if that white trout's 10 inches long, he's going to hit it with an attitude. Sometimes those specks will get a little soft mouth, and it's, you know, you're wondering, was that really a bite, you know, kind of thing. You're not going to wonder that with a white trout. But you get, you get into, if you go and target them and you go look for one of those deep holes where they're already starting to congregate, there you're probably going to have the majority nothing but white trout.
When can we expect the sheephead to start ganging up? It's a little early yet. When do they start
ganging
up?
Yeah, it's a little early. We usually don't turn our attention to it until the specs start slowing down for us, which is usually around that Thanksgiving time frame. But anywhere, you know, we get a few more good cold fronts come through here, and that water start dropping, the temperatures start dropping, the sheephead will start ganging up on the oyster reefs, and then that'll run all the way through into March. You know, February and March, when they really start leaving out of the marsh and heading to those nearshore platforms to spawn.
Yeah, well, maybe we can get together and do a TV feature on that and demonstrate, you know, the sheephead and how they get stacked up. And, you know, so when it gets really hot and heavy, man, give me a holler, and we'll try to get out there and get that done and show people how to take advantage of a really, I think, underutilized species.
We can do it as long as you bring in a fillet knife with you.
Oh, look, I can handle that. I can do a sheephead. Darryl, if somebody wants to get in on some of that fun times you guys are providing for people down there, tell them how to get a hold of you.
Well, you know, Don, they can find me on your site along with a lot of other useful information at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. They can find me on RealScreamers.com or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, and have a good trip today, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, Don, as long as you're in that perfect time where it's all happening, but the gnats hadn't shown up yet.
Ooh, don't say that. Go get it.
Have a good one, sir.
All righty, that's Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. All right, we come back after the top of the hour break. First up, you're going to hear from Justin Logar. He'll be talking to us from his home state of New Jersey about his trip out of Gulfport with Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters. It was a fishing trip of a lifetime. He caught his tarpon, which was his target fish. He'll tell you that story. Also going to talk to Gene Hebert, Emil Broussard, Louisiana Wildlife Festival, fishing reports from Captain Mike Gallo, paddling with Eric Mohabarak, and Ryan Lambert finishes it up for us with our fishing reports here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And welcome into hour number two. Joining us by way of our live line is Justin Logar, who is the star of this week's Bayou Wild television episode. You can see it on YouTube or any of our affiliate channels. Just go to BayouWildTV.com. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, Don. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. We got wonderful weather here. How's your weather for your fishing tournament up there this morning?
It's nice. It's like low 50s right now. It's going to be nice in the 60s today. Should be pretty good out there today.
Yeah, kind of what we have. Justin, for people not familiar, you know, when they watch the feature, they can learn a lot more about your Hodgkin's lymphoma, and your dad explained it, John explained it very well, as did you. What is your condition right now, if you could give us a little bit of an update? What's the prognosis?
Right now, we are all in the clear, so we had clear scans back in May. And now it's just, you know, kind of moving forward, you know, just getting everything else checked up on every now and then, making sure everything's still in line. But, yeah, I mean, no more cancer, and, you know, everything's been going good since the transplant roughly 2 years ago. So
that's great news. What was your experience level of fishing before you came down here to the Gulf Coast?
I would say, you know, like above average. I mean, I fish a lot, and, you know, I'm still new. I mean, I only started picking up fishing back in high school, but, you know, definitely – above average, but saltwater, definitely pretty beginner level saltwater.
You know, you came to us by way of an organization called Hunt of a Lifetime, should be also called Fishing Trip of a Lifetime, and you chose as your trip of a lifetime tarpon. What did you know about tarpon fishing before you came here?
You know, all I really knew was that, like, tarpon are, like, you know, like the king catch, like, you know, it's like what you want to, that's like what you want to go catch if you can somehow. And, you know, you see it on, like, the internet and everything like that. It's like, that's what I want.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you would, give us the listeners a little sneak preview, if they haven't seen the feature yet, of how your tarpon fight went.
It was pretty awesome. I mean, it caught us by surprise, and it definitely wasn't a little, it was, you know, it was just early in the morning, caught us by surprise, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it ripped out nice and far, and the jumps were just, it was unreal, so it was insane.
Yeah, tarpon to me is the most exciting fish I've ever caught, and I've caught a lot of different type of fish over my career, but tarpon tops it. That is a pure sport fish, and you left with one of the scales off of the tarpon. You got a souvenir. That's about all you get off of them, and the memory, and of course we got video too.
Yeah, and I know people talk like, oh, if you wanted to, like, you know, you can get it like killed and mounted. I'm like, why would I kill it? Like, the thing's older than me. You know, I got like got the memory and got the scale, no harm done, and it's back out there. So,
have you ever seen a guy as dedicated to a sport as Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters? Boy, he is a tarpon machine.
Yeah, he knows his stuff, and his just like thrill for it is unreal. Like anytime there was a little nip of the rod, you know, he's up and ready, getting everyone excited, and like he just loves it, and he loves it out there, and he's awesome. He made it a blast, and nothing but thanks for Captain Jeremy. He was awesome, and it made those 2 days really awesome.
You know, the only thing that was kind of a downer on the trip was your dad. He wanted to catch one, and I was hoping that we'd get a strike and he could get his shot. But you see, these fish have a way of doing that. They denied him letting him catch him, but that gets him back. You guys have got to come back and your dad catch one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know, like, as much as he wanted to catch one, I think he was definitely happy that I was the one to caught the one. So, and, you know, it's the way it goes. I mean, we had one for him, you know. They'll take them down, but, you know, just pop them off. That's just the way these fish, that's the way they work.
Yeah, well, I could tell you wanted him to catch one. He wanted him to catch one, and so did I, and so did Captain Jeremy. So maybe we can make it happen. And if you guys get back down here again, let us know. I'd love to get back together with you. What kind of tournament are you fishing up there this morning?
It's a bass tournament through my school. So we have this little club tournament. We got about 20 boats or so going out.
Well, you're probably one of the few people up in that tournament that has actually landed a tarpon, so you got the experience.
That's very true.
Justin, yeah. Thanks for being with us, and I really enjoyed meeting you and your dad. Best of luck on everything, and we'll be looking for you on the TV.
I really appreciate it, Don. Thanks for having me, man.
All righty. Justin Logar up in New Jersey, the star of Bayou Wild TV's episode, Justin's Tarpon Tale is the name of the feature. Check it out. All right, coming back after this, we christened a spot in the North Biloxi Marsh as Dutch's Corner. We did that this week with Captain Mike Gallo and crew. We'll talk about that with him and also get a fishing report for you. Or the World Series trout at the bridges in Pontchartrain. World Series going on. Did the trout show up? Mike will tell us what he thinks. Coming back on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our report with Captain Mike Gallo, brought to you by Seato. You know Seato. You've seen them, the big yellow boats. And if you've seen them out there, they were probably going out to help someone. And they can help you if you sign up to be a member. $249 for an entire year. And, you know, it's Christmas holidays and gift shopping starts coming up. What a great gift to give to someone. And you can do that by contacting Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or simply click seato.com. And you'll, for yourself or your loved one, they'll be getting free towing anywhere, anytime, free fuel delivery if that's the problem. Jump starts for electrical breakdowns. Dock-to-dock towing is premier on-water assistance from their expert captains. Check them out, seato.com. Captain Mike joins us now, and this past Wednesday, Captain Mike, myself, Glenn Shure from Standard Mapping, Al Calabrese, and Steve McNamara, all buddies, friends of a longtime listener to this program, a legendary fisherman, the founder of the Louisiana Big Game Fishing Club, Dutch Prager. And when we left the spot that we fished, it is now designated on the map, this location, as Dutch's Corner. Mike, glad to have made that trip. And boy, what a day it was, a beautiful day. And we were actually rewarded with some of redfish, some of Dutch's favorite fish to catch in that favorite spot of his.
It was very memorable for all involved, Don, and I thank you for helping me gather the right people to pull it off.
Well, now people can go on Standard Map, either the chips or the maps, and look for it. It's called Dutch's Corner. Kind of give them a description of where that spot's going to be on the map.
Well, Dutch's Corner is located in Bayou Maroon. It's a shallow corner, which, as we spoke about, makes it a bit unique. Most of the bends in the marsh, the outside edge of the bend is deep. In this particular bend, the inside portion of the bayou is deep, and the outside is shallow. And Dutch and I caught many redfish there over the years, and I just thought since it was a unique spot and Dutch was such a unique person, that would be a fitting spot to try to carry on Dutch's legacy. So now Dutch continues, even though he's not here with us.
Yep, and people can watch that on an upcoming Bayou Wild TV episode. It should be airing after the first of the year as Dutch's 100th birthday approaches. And, you know, it was great to get out there and hear from Steve and Al and you and reminisce and tell stories about Dutch. What a guy, a great guy to be out there fishing with, and he was a regular, never missed one of these shows. He always caught the radio show every Saturday morning. And also a special thanks to Glenn Shore of Standard Maps. Everybody knows Standard Mapping with the chips. You drop them in, and the whole coast of Louisiana and parts beyond you can find. And you can find Dutch's Corner if you go online there. Mike, let's talk a little bit about the fishing that's going on there and other places. World Series trout. The World Series has started. Are they showing up at the bridges? What are you hearing on those bridges that stretch across Lake Pontchartrain?
Don, we are seeing a few trout, but more consistently, I guess you could say it's World Series sheephead time. Because, boy, the sheephead are certainly biting. Had a boat go out yesterday, and they came back with over 25 of those things, some black drum, a couple of redfish, and a few trout mixed in with them. So I think we get another cold front or two will really help put the trout on those bridges. There's certainly trout in Lake Pontchartrain. They're just still kind of scattered out a bit. This warm weather that we're having is not having those fish concentrated. So I'm catching fish all over, caught fish from 2 feet of water to 30 feet of water. So they're really scattered, but the good thing is they're kind of everywhere.
Mike, we had a very pleasant ride across Lake Bourne. The forecast is for a very light north and northeast winds, about 5 knots. For people headed to that Biloxi Marsh, from what you saw there, chances of going there and catching maybe a combination of reds and specks, so what would you suggest?
Well, the tide is high just about now, and it's going to start falling. So I would suggest you look for birds, and fish a popping cork with a plastic or live shrimp. The matrix under a cork, the gulp under a cork is really my go-to whenever I'm fishing for trout. There's some bull reds out there as well. You know, practice catch, photo, and release on those. They are the future of our slot-sized redfish. And as the tide gets moving a little later in the morning, you'll start to see current lines around points and where bayous empty into lakes. And those are going to be ambush points where you'll be able to catch both speckled trout and redfish. Almost anywhere, Don. There's plenty of fish in the marsh. Some of the gas wells in Lake Bourne are holding fish. The white trout are really thick. We caught some on bare hooks earlier in the week. So plenty out there.
Very good. You know, Mike, you know, we talked about the fishing out there, and I think one tip that if I heard it once on Wednesday, I heard it 100 times. You got to get up in the grass. When the water's high, you got to throw right at the edge of the grass, correct?
You know, Don, I have a saying, and it reminds me of when we were all in school and the teacher would tell us I before E except after C. You know, those little tidbits that help you. And my little saying when I'm redfish is high and tight, low and long.
Gotcha.
When the water's high, you got to fish tight to the grass. When the water's low, you can be a long way from the grass.
Right. As fish are cruising along that grass, plucking crabs and shrimp and little minnows and shiners out of there, and that's where they're going to be feeding. Mike, it was a great day. Dutch's Corner is now there. I just got a text, and someone said that they reported seeing Taylor Swift fishing at Dutch's Corner. We'll have to verify that if that's in fact true. Maybe she found her way out there, huh?
She might have got Glenn's LA1 card already and downloaded it.
Yeah. Well, Mike, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and maybe have you bring them to Dutch's Corner and catch fish with them, they can find you on my site, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, your site, AAofLA.com. Give them that telephone number if they want to give you a call.
Very simple. Telephone number is 985-781-7811.
All right, Mike, have a great day, and thank you so much for the designation for Dutch's Corner for perpetuity. We really appreciate it, and I'm sure Dutchess fans will enjoy going there and reminiscing and talking about it. Maybe we need to put a monument or a sign out there or something. Huh?
That's a possibility.
All right. Thanks again, Mike. See you next week.
Thank you, Don. Talk to you then.
Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. All right, we're going to hunt down, see if there's some World Series trout in Lake Pontchartrain for kayakers. Eric Mohabarak joins us to talk about that. Back with his report right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Paddler's Report is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie, 3,000 square foot of apparel, kayaks, kayaking equipment, gear, fishing, fly fishing, one of the largest salt and fly fishing gear stores you'll find anywhere in the area. They also have demo events on site. They've got a demo pool if you want to try before you buy, and extensive gear, especially for the paddlers who go out there with the fly rods in hand. That's No Wake Outfitters on Airline Drive. They're open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Stop by and see them. All right, hopefully we'll make contact with Eric. I wanted to talk to him about kayak fishing in Lake Pontchartrain, but until then, let's get to some of the text messages coming in. Again, someone else talking about remembering Frank Davis. They live in Poydras, but we go to Slidell and take the Frank Davis Memorial Bridge all the time. That's Robbie from Poydras. Yeah, they actually named the bridge in honor of Frank. Frank was a Slidell resident. He fished under that bridge an awful lot. He fished a lot with Kenny Krieger, and also he was also good friends with Gilbert Cousins, who originally had one of the first boat launches and rentals there on Lake Pontchartrain. All right, we got, Bedeco Tommy wants me to remind everyone, early voting is on. Please go vote. It's a very important election. Lines will be long and even longer on election day. Yeah, that makes common sense there. I've already voted, and hopefully the listeners of this program, who are pretty much all like-minded folks, will get out and vote. We got Brian Guidros checking in. Bayou Black, the bass are starting to bite pretty good over there. And this is an interesting text. Someone has Big Mike. He's got an old spear that was used to spear tarpon under the trestle around 100 years old. They use the scales for guitar picks because they are full of bones and not edible. Yeah, they're big bony fish, and the meat's not very good either. So they're pretty much nothing but a sport fish. And it's, as I told Justin in the TV feature, you'll see we removed one scale off of his tarpon. It's a big scale. In fact, the French word is grande caille, and it means big scale, which the fish is also called that. And when you catch a tarpon, that's your souvenir. You pull the scale off of it. And he talked about getting it mounted. Nowadays, all you need is the measurements and a picture of the fish, and they'll do a fiberglass reproduction, and the fish can swim to fight somebody else another day. All right, I got Doug checking in. He had some trailer issues, and he reminds everybody, take a look underneath your trailer. A lot of times you look at your boat, you maintain your motor, but trailers get neglected, and make sure your trailer is in good shape. The Frog Lawyer is checking in. He's ready to launch at the Lafayette Kayak Fishing Club's Turkey Trout Bowl. That's an annual event they hold at Sycamore Point. He's waiting for the Lafayette Yakker to bring the boot in. Hope he shows up for you, Frog Lawyer. Louisiana River Chickens checking in. They had a good trip fishing the Wrigley's near Slidell. Caught some reds and trout last week. And someone wanted to know if they can give Cito a gift anonymously, like to give it to anyone. And I reply, I'm sure you, Chris and Colleen Orfanello at Cito can definitely make that happen. You give them a call, and they'll tell you how to get that done. All right, coming back after this time out, it's Bad Boy the Outdoors time. Now, a lot of times our bad boys go out there and they got an evil plot, a plan in mind of how to steal our natural resources. This one, I think, was more of a crime of opportunity. And you got to resist the temptation. Maybe you've had it in your experiences. Well, tell you all about it coming back right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we got someone commented that they saw the Bayou Wild TV episode, said it was a great show. Hunt of a Lifetime is a great organization, making dreams come true. Yes, it is, and we are very proud to work with Hunt of a Lifetime and actually publicize it. And if you have someone, a young person that has a terminally ill with a stricken with some sort of a disorder or disease, and they have a hunt or a fishing trip of a lifetime they'd like to make. If you go to huntofalifetime.com, you can find out more about the organization, and they can try their best to make it happen, and we help them in doing that, and we enjoy doing it. Or if you would like to provide a service that you have to share it with the recipients of Hunt of a Lifetime, guys like Captain Jeremy McHugh of Stillwater Charters donates his time and his effort to make those things happen. Captain Ryan Lambert, who we'll be talking to soon, he's also done a trip, as many others have done, and we thank them for that. And if you think you have a trip that you'd like to offer, a service that would be a lifetime trip for someone who wouldn't normally do it, get in touch with me. And again, you can reach me at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and we'll include you on our list of resources in case we get someone that would like to take that trip of a lifetime with you. All right, we got a bad boy story coming up, and coincidentally, I'm hearing from a Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agent, Tim. He's taken his two sons, 4 years old and 6 years old, Lewis and Timothy, on their very first fishing trip today. They're headed to Bayou Bienvenue, hoping to make memories and not fill the box. Boy, you got some great weather for it, Tim. Good luck to you and the kids. Let me know how it turns out. All right, we'll be right back after this quick 10-second station identification pause and tell you the story of a crime of opportunity, I believe, next. Now, to let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, during this past Louisiana teal season, on September 27th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents Lieutenant Scott Dupre, Sergeant Jake Darden, and Agent Harry Gaines received a complaint, as many of these stories begin. They get citizens giving tips about illegal activities going on in the outdoors. This one was about an individual taking several black-bellied whistling ducks from a vehicle on a public roadway. During the investigation, the agents learned that Caden Ashley saw the ducks lining a roadway pond near Sharonton and shot them with lead shot from the roadway out of his vehicle. Upon further review, they also learned that Ashley had committed other migratory bird violations, resulting in the seizure of the three whistling ducks, his 12-gauge shotgun, along with his vehicle. And he was cited for hunting ducks other than teal during teal season, hunting ducks without a federal duck stamp, hunting migratory game birds from a vehicle on a public roadway, and violating non-toxic shot requirements, which, if convicted on all these counts, facing prosecution in a federal court involving expensive fines, civil restitution, and possible jail time. That's 23-year-old Caden Ashley of Sharonton, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. You know, I think most of these cases that we present to you as these bad boy stories, people go out with the intention of breaking the law. This one, I don't think, was a case. I think he was driving along, and like many of you, you know, these whistling ducks, they're almost like domestic ducks, and they're everywhere. They're in ponds, they're in canals, they're in ditches, along roadways. They don't really have much fear of humans. And he happened to have a shotgun in the truck, and but didn't even get out of the truck and shot these ducks. And you got to avoid that temptation to do something like that because, as I mentioned, you know, it could be these migratory bird cases are federal offenses, and it can result in some huge fines, restitution being paid back, and in very rare cases, I don't think in this case there'll be any jail time, but confiscated his gun, even took his vehicle, took his truck. Not a good situation. So, you know, abide by the law, resist temptation, and, you know, what is the challenge of shooting ducks out of a window of a truck that is sitting on the edge of a pond anyway? Don't get it. All right, we got coming up, Ryan Lambert's going to check in with us. We're going to talk to him. Boy, I've been from some phenomenal fishing down in his neck of the woods, down there near the tip of the boot. We're also going to talk to a couple of the organizers. Well, in fact, the president of the Louisiana Collectors and Carvers Guild, Emil Broussard, Gene Hebert, is going to join us too, and we're going to talk about the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival. I'm calling it the alternative trip from the Taylor Swift, and it's a whole lot cheaper, a whole lot less crowd, and you might even find it more enjoyable. They'll tell you all the different things that are going on there. Also, I want to remind you, the Bad Boys of the Outdoors is presented in part by the Louisiana Wildlife Agents Association. It's a nonprofit group, and you can help provide funds. They offer a scholarship and other benefits for their members, and you can help them by purchasing exclusive gear for LWAA, which is the Louisiana Wildlife Agents Association. Got hoodies, T-shirts, koozies, hats, a wide, vast array of gear and apparel. You can check it all out at supportlwaa.org. That's supportlwaa.org. All right, coming back after this, the Plastic Man joins us to talk about what he's throwing plastic at these days down outside of Burris at the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge. And all the guides down there, all of them get out and come back and compare stories. And they do hunt ducks down there, too. We're back with Ryan's report after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, joins us. And, Ryan, is there any better conditions or time of the year for fishing than right now?
Not only that, but the fish are chewing, boy. They are chewing.
Yes, indeed.
It's been really good.
What side y'all going to, east or west?
Well, I'm going west. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 going west and 7 going east.
Wow. A lot of fish are going to be coming in today. What kind of fish are y'all catching? What size and what species?
You name a fish except for flounder, and we're bringing it in.
There you go.
Marty even had a Spanish mackerel in the river yesterday.
Wow. What the heck was it?
Crazy.
GPS must have been off, huh? Spanish mackerel in the river.
A really good trout bite. You know what we're lacking, though? Bull reds. The bull red schools aren't here. Isn't that weird?
Yeah,
it is. We don't have the giant schools of pogies that they follow. So they really not, you know, normally we get out there and get on schools of them, but they're not there. You know, you're catching them when you're catching trout, so they're here, but they're not schooled up.
Mm-hmm. Y'all fishing plastic or, well, we know what you're fishing, but it's for the normal humans. What are they using, plastic or live?
We go to Willis. Yeah, they got a plethora of different things. You know, a lot of them got live shrimp on board. I'm going to throw the Z-Man shrimp today myself.
Yeah.
Something that Jose gave me that looks real nice.
You like that Z-Man. You've been using that for a long time.
You know, I could put a little super glue on there, put it on there, and I don't have to change baits all day.
Yeah.
You know, it don't come off, and that's really good. Plus, it's got great action and, you know, great colors. So, you know, I like it. They're a great company, too.
Has that Marker 54 bait made it down there yet?
Oh, yeah. All of them have that, too. And what I'm using is very similar to that, very similar. And I don't know. I don't get to a store or nothing, you know. I don't ever go shopping, so I don't see all those things. But, you know, they got them. I see them on the boats, and they got the big ones, and they got that one little shrimplet, you know. So, and my cousin was telling me about it the other day. He lives over there on Lake Pontchartrain, and they was whacking him with that. He said, oh, my gosh, it's crazy.
Yeah, so, it's a shrimp lookalike, and it's very, very tough. I mean, you can, you know, it takes quite a few fish to chew it up.
Same plastic as Elastec, the same thing that Z-Man uses. That Elastec, and it's really durable stuff. So, yeah, you don't have to tear them up. And they've been catching them. I mean, they've been catching more on that little thing. So my little cousin was raving over it. He said he went in the bass pond and whacked the bass on it, too. So
it's a good bait. It's a good bait. Now, that slimy slug, you still got a few of those up in your attic, or are they all gone?
You didn't know I got cases of them things still.
I guess they don't go bad.
I'm waiting for the right moment. I got those big 8-inch ones, and when those big trout come around, man.
What do you think that imitates that makes those big trout
big
bite?
Sand
eel,
eels,
maybe?
Big sand eels.
Uh-huh. Big eels, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, and they love them sand eels. Some big trout eat them up. So that, and, you know, if you use a silver one, it's like a mullet. It's just like a good wounded fish pattern, you know, the way they move through the water. But I know it catches a lot of fish and big fish, so I save them for the moment.
You know, I was in the Biloxi Marsh Wednesday, and I saw one duck, a model duck. Have you gotten any new arrivals yet? Are we waiting for a moon or what?
No, we got them.
They're there, huh?
We got them. Yeah, they're here. And another front coming, and it'll be even better. And, you know, I saw some migrating yesterday, so it's, you know, it's that time of year when they all arriving and getting in the marsh and doing their thing. But I tell you what, I have not seen not one duck on the west side And I went north yesterday, and I didn't see any ducks to the north either. So there's not a great deal of them here yet.
Yeah. Gator season. You finished it up?
Yesterday. I got my last two yesterday.
Yeah. Any more big ones like those big 10-footers we found?
Marty got a 10, not Marty, Corey got a 10-9, I think, of dinosaur. I mean, a dinosaur.
Man, what makes a little girl go?
54 pounds.
What makes some little girls go after them big dinosaur lizards like
that? I don't know, but they did, and her and her daddy got it in a boat somehow.
Yeah.
354-pound gator, that's a lot of,
meat.
A lot of bulky meat, you know?
Yeah.
But we got alligator meat for the year for the lodge, so we're good to go.
What do those girls in the kitchen do with your alligator? Do they make a mole?
No, we take the muscle in the tail. We use that for appetizers and the cheeks and the rest of it. You know, we'll fry that and we'll marinate it in some raspberry vinaigrette or just Italian, and we'll fry it like fish. And then the other one they use in the sauce piquant, which is really, really good. I think that's what we're going to have tonight.
Yeah,
you got to make sure you get all the fat off of it. All that pale yellow fat got to come off.
That's strong and nasty stuff. You got to get that fat off of a gator for sure. All right. Yeah. So what do your customers take home when they kill an alligator? Do they get the hide? Do they buy the hide?
No, you can't give them the hide because it's got to be inspected before they can have it. So a game warden has to come inspect it. So normally I take them over there to State and Lafayette if they want to do something with them, because, you know, in order to tan them, you got to bring them somewhere anyhow. So I'll bring them to those guys over there in Lafayette, and they do a great job for me. In fact, one of your listeners last week, after we talked about it, they came and they got back with me and asked me the name of it. So, yes, they did a good job for me. And this year I'm taking 2 7.5, 8-footers, and I'm going to have a nice pair of gray boots made for me.
All right, sounds good. All right, Cajun Fishing Adventures. Give them the telephone number, Ron. They want to give you a call. And I know you booked up, but they can maybe always squeeze somebody in on this.
And I still got some duck hunts in the early part of the season in November. But it's 504-559-5111. And I'm going out there and get on them trout right now.
All right, let me know the results of the contest, too.
Will do, buddy.
You know the contest you got going on that you're going to award a cast and blast trip to the winner of the Taylor Swift look-alike contest you got going on at the lodge?
Oh, God almighty. Come on now. I think Salvador might win that.
Oh, yeah. All right, buddy. Y'all try to have some fun down there. We'll catch up with you.
All right, we'll do, buddy. We'll see you.
There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, coming back after this, Emil Broussard, Gene Abreu join us. They're going to be opening the doors pretty soon to the Louisiana Wildfowl Festival, 45th Annual Casting Center, Pelican Park. They're going to give us a sneak preview of what you'll find inside. Next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we take you now to Pelican Park at the Casting Center in Mandeville, right next to Fontainebleau State Park. That's the site of the 45th Annual Louisiana Wildfowl Festival. It is a presentation of the Louisiana Wildfowl Carvers and Collectors Guild, and joining us is Emil Broussard and Gene Hebert. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Don.
Hey, right.
Good morning, Don. Emil, thanks for having us on. We're excited to speak to your audience about our festival.
Yeah, doors are going to be open at 9 o'clock this morning for the public, and you got judging and competition going on, and then a demonstration. What can they see during the live wildfowl demonstration?
We got several different things that we're doing this year. Is that we have the Green Ducks Unlimited presenting Green Wing membership to all of the kids that attend this year.
Fantastic.
We're also offering a cash wine and beer this year, and we have a painting for the kids. We made up some butterflies and duck heads and autumn leaves that the kids can sit and paint with us.
And then that becomes a souvenir they can take home with them, correct?
Absolutely.
That's correct.
Very good.
That's two of the new activities that we have. But we also have a competition, and we have carvers from all over the USA who have honed their skills to create lifelike recreations of all types of wildfowl, ducks, geese, songbirds, shorebirds, all species of all kind. It's really something to see.
Yeah, this is a long-standing tradition that started off from when people used to carve wooden decoys because they used them as hunting decoys, and then it became an art form, and guys like Charlie Frank and you guys have continued the tradition on. I heard that Louisiana has more carving champions than any other state. Is that true?
That's a true statement.
Yeah,
well, they have a competition in other parts of the country, and a lot of the world champions are from this area.
Now, people can learn how this is done as far as the whittling and the painting and actually do hands-on demonstration. It actually goes on at the show at the exhibit tables, correct?
That's correct. Tomorrow we're going to have a duck carving. The carvers are going to get together and carve a head for a duck, and we give them 2.5 hours to complete a head for a duck with just hand tools.
Mm. That's interesting.
And for the new activity... For the new activity with the aspiring artists, we're saying it's for children, but it could be aspiring artists of all ages can come, and we have some student artists that are going to instruct and help them create their butterfly or their duck head. And like we said, you can take that home with you as a keepsake.
That's art students from Southeastern University that's going to be attending that.
We also have an auction on Sunday. It starts at 1 o'clock. If you want to participate, you're welcome to do that with the admission fee of $5. But it'd be nice to get here a few minutes early so you can register and participate in the auction.
Yeah, if somebody wants to buy one of these works of art during the auction, what time will that auction start tomorrow?
1 p.m.
And when will it close out?
As long as it lasts.
And so all of the items are either bid on or purchased, or we get through all of the items. They can also see some examples of these items on our website at lwccg.com. And there's some really collectibles, antiques, and also some decoys that were carved by some of these world-famous carvers.
It's
really interesting to see and participate. And also, we have a lot of history, and some of the carvers will be here. You can meet the carvers that have made some of these works of art.
I tell you, it never ceases to amaze me, the detail, the fine detail on some of those decoys. It looks like if you blew on it, the feathers would part. It's just such a wonderful work of art that they do. And I'll be looking forward to seeing you guys down there. I'm calling this the alternative trip to the Taylor Swift concert. You can go here for $5, free parking, Casting Center, Pelican Park in Mandeville. Hours 9 to 5 today and 9 to 4 tomorrow. And stop by and see these guys and participate in it. Thanks for being with us, and thanks on continuing this long-standing tradition of waterfowl decoys and expanding into other wildlife. Thank you so much, guys. I'll see y'all a little bit later on.
Thank you, Don.
All right, Gene Hebert, Emil Broussard, Louisiana Wildfowl Festival. Put that on your calendar. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Done it. We got it in. We'll be back again next week. It's your two-hour journey, sometimes a pre-journey into the great outdoors, and it's 36th year. We call it The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.